never had thought about that. I just wanted to love and serve Baba and be with Baba in his ashram. One time for some days I was in Sakuri, and every day there used to be aarti in the temple, and after that we were to go to Upasthi Maharaj's hut. So one day we all went for aarti, and we women all had to stand on one side and the men on facing Maharaj and on one side of him. After the Brahmin worshipped Maharaj's feet and offered garlands and flowers, a Brahmin elderly lady and wanted to present a gold ring to Maharaj. Maharaj saw the gold ring and he was startled. He said, "What? You bring gold ring to me? I who don't even wear proper clothes, I'm only using a sackcloth, and how do you..." Can you imagine me wearing a gold ring? How can I ever wear gold? I don't want that ring. I won't wear it. But the lady was very downcast, and she knelt down for a little while facing him, and she was very she felt a bit disappointed and looked at Maharaj. So Maharaj felt sympathy for her, and then he said, "All right, you want me to wear the ring? All right, put it on my toe." So he put out his foot, and the woman put it on his toe. It was not fitting well, so Maharaj pulled the ring. Was of pure gold, that's why it could be made big, because it's made such a way that it can be made big or small to your size. So Maharaj made it a little looser, and then I think Maharaj himself slipped it on his own toe. But the woman also was touching it, Maharaj also, and both together put it on his toe. And then after that, then the aarti was sung, and we always, after we sang the aarti, the time was now to take darshan after the aarti. So all the men were taking darshan of Maharaj's feet, and the gold ring was on Maharaj's toe. They all took darshan of Maharaj's feet, and all the men went out, and then the turn for the women came to take darshan. And so all the women looking at the gold ring, that they knew that Maharaj is not going to keep that gold ring, and so they're wondering what is going to happen to that gold ring. Is he going to give it away, or what is? So each one were feeling like that. And so when all the Brahmin women and young women and girls and everybody took darshan, and there were very few left. After taking darshan, they all leave the hut, and there were just a few left, about five or six of us. And then my turn came, and I knelt down at his feet. I took darshan, and I was about to leave, and Maharaj stopped me, and he said, "Wait, take this ring and wear it." And he held it out to me, and he took my finger and put it around my finger. I put it on my finger. And so the ring, which I had not thought of getting it, but so I was very happily surprised. And after smiling at Maharaj in way to say thank you, but I did not say thank you, I smiled and looked happy, and Maharaj said, always keep it on your finger, don't part with it. I said, all right, Maharaj, and then I got up and went, and then the other ladies all had their darshan. And then we all went to our respective homes. Being with Baba in Bombay, no, to bring the scene round to... In 1925, after our return from Bombay, it was month of March, and it was one afternoon, Baba sent Gustaji in to come to our room and tell us that if any of us had a gold ring, we should give it to Baba, and he will in exchange give another ring to us. I had the ring on my finger. I tried very hard to take it out, but it would not come out. And Gustaji and I together, we tried very hard to pull it out. When at last we did got it out, sent it with, gave it to Gustaji, and he took it with him to Baba and gave it to Baba. Then after just a minute or two, after 2 minutes, Baba came in, and we all were in the room, and Baba called me, and there was a window sill on inside the room on which we had Baba's photos. And there Baba stood, and he called me, and he gave me the first ring which I had sent, and he said, I'm returning your ring, put it on, and don't take it off. I said, yes, Baba, and he put that the first ring on my finger which I had sent to him, and then he showed me another ring, and that was also gold ring, and he said, wear this ring also, and don't part with it, keep it on your finger always, it is from me. And so he put it on my finger. To this day, I'm still wearing the two rings that Baba had blessed. Later on, I realized that Baba wished me to wear the ring that had come from him. So he had asked for it and then gave it to me. Also, I think Baba wished to see if I would part with the ring for his sake, even though Maharaj had given it to me and told me not to part with it. Baba tested me to see if I would obey him. Baba loves to be obeyed. Jai Baba. Much later, I realized that Baba wished me to wear the ring that had come from him, and that is why I think he asked for it and then gave it back to me. Also, I think Baba wanted to see if I would part with the ring for his sake, even though Upasani Maharaj had given it to me. I feel happy I obeyed my beloved Baba. Jai Baba. Love to you each, Baba lovers, from your Mirazar family. Jai Baba. Baba had told us this story some years back. Why he loved Draupadi more. Did I tell you about that? The story there, then of course the Mirabai. But Mirabai's story is not the only one. There are such great Baba lovers, I can't tell you. Like St. Francis. But St. Francis' history is such a way that he was loving Jesus and lived an ascetic life and like this. But this is these stories are also very different way, and yet the love for God and this and that. It's very like that, very beautiful. Like this one story is very true and real, but each one, I wouldn't know which to relate. But now if I talk about Surdas, Surdas, you know, about him. Now, I told you about Tulsidas. Tulsidas, no? He went to have his bath. Every time he went to the Ganges, this Mohammedan lady threw, after having his clean bath, he was a Brahmin, and Brahmins are very, very, what do you call it, finicky, or very fussy, or I don't know what, or very particular. That is what, I can't get the right word. Very particular about cleanliness and bath and like this, and then they must say their beads, and that cleanliness, like next to godliness, that's how they, and Brahmins are that way. You see, always everyday bath. And then, and first in the morning, and then they can do puja, then they're fit to worship God, and this, you know, that, all that. So this Tulsidas was a real lover of God, not just any Brahmin who just do puja means worship God and then forget about. No, Tulsidas was so all the time, Ram, 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 and nothing but Ram, and he was a great lover of Ram, like, I don't know about how much love, I mean, he was. His love is perfect, but different way, like Francis's. And so Tulsidas, every day he used to go to the Ganges, have his bath in the river, and then put on white, clean, wash clothes, and then with his beads in his hands, go Ram, Ram, through the streets like that, you know, because that would, he would concentrate on the bead also like that. He wouldn't be here in the distracted, Ram, Ram, like that. So he was a great lover of Ram. Now it so happened that he went to the Ganges one day. You know, the road that he used to go to the Ganges, you know, one road through the town, city, whatever you call it, town maybe, and then further on the river is a bit far away. So he had to go through the town. Every day the same road had to go. But that road was not very broad and not very narrow, medium. And there were houses, like how do you say, one-story house. In olden times they had like Hindu type of houses, just one story. And there was a Mohammedan lady, a Mohammedan woman staying top of the, what do you call it, top stairs, what do you call it, first story on the top floor. She would watch, then this Brahmin goes and then comes back all washed, big and are you putting it on? Mm. Okay, then this Mohammedan lady used to watch him and saw this today again. He's come all washed and clean, and so she felt, I must see this person, how much he's so pious, like this. He shows himself to be a lover of God. So she wanted not just to test him, but to harass him. Is that the word? To give him some kind of trouble, you know. So she rushed, if she saw him coming from far, that day she had planned out, and so she had a lot of dirty water that had washed her kitchen, you know, and it was greasy and dirty and like that. So she ran inside, and as soon as Tulsidas came under her terrace, you know, she threw a bucket full of dirty water on top of him. From head to toe, he was all dirty water. So Tulsidas looked up very surprised, and he looked up to see who it was. He saw this lady. He did not say a word. He looked down again, he turned his back and went back to the Ganges and had another bath, washed his clothes and all that, saying Ram, Ram all the time. And then the other pair of clothes were dry, he put them on, and then again clean, nice, he came saying his beads, Ram, Ram, Ram all the way. And again he passed by that, because that was the foot, what would you call it, pavement from where he has to go. So he went. Now this time also he did not, I mean, he was, his mind was in the, saying the beads, and he was going on the, that terrace of the Mohammedan lady, and this lady knew that he will come back. So she had prepared some more dirty water and washed the other room with floors and everything, and a staircase and everything. She gathered all the dirty muddy water, and as soon as he came, she threw it again on him. Again he saw that she had thrown, but not a word did he say in reproof, as you would call her, as you would say. But he turned round very quietly and went back and to the river and had another bath, washed his clothes, and again dried the other pair of clothes, wore the nice new clean pair of clothes, and again came back saying Ram, Ram, Ram. This time the woman said, he's come back, I'll show it to him. And then she got some more dirty water, threw it on him. All three times
And again he did not say a word. Very quietly, meekly, he went back to the Ganges, had another bath and washed his clothes, you know, saying Ram, Ram, Ram. And he came back again to under the same window. But this time the lady saw that he's not going to get tired of going having bath. He was saying Ram's name, and he looked quite happy like that, not worried at all. And she felt bad about it, you know, regretful. And so she, looking at him coming down again trustingly like that, and again passing another window, she didn't have the heart to throw any more water. She, on the contrary, she ran down the steps and went down and bowed down to Tulsidas. She says, "You are a real lover of Ram, because I know how, even till evening, if I continue throwing water, dirty water on you, you will not scold me or get angry." So she lost the thing, and so she said, "Yeah." So Tulsidas told her, "But you don't have to, this thing, don't be worried about it, because never mind, it is Ram's wish. It was Ram's wish today that I should have so many baths, and I should say so many more times Ram, Ram while having my bath. So it was Ram's test, it was not your fault. So don't." So he put her at ease also, and shows his love for Ram, that it was all Ram's wish that he that this water should be thrown on him and he should go have his bath so many times. So everything is by God's wish that happens. So he was so prepared for his love. If you love truly, your love is tested. It's always like that. Like Meera's love also, as Baba said. Jai Baba. Mirabai's story, Baba had told us some part of it, and some part of Meera's story I heard in Sakuri. Meera was very young, and since then, young means only a little girl, and she loved Krishna. It happened that her mother, in those days, Hindus always had the baths in the morning and go for puja, that is to worship in the temple or at their altar before they started the daily work. So one day her mother was going to the temple to worship with all the flowers and incense sticks and lights and sweets in her tray. So Meera is a little girl, very small she was. She asked her mother, "Where are you going, mother?" The mother was, in Hindu, they have a way of saying, "Oh, I'm going to your in-law's place." That way she said, you know, they have a way of saying that. So she, Meera took it very literally, and she was very, she felt very happy that it was her relations, that mother's going in-laws means that her future home. So she was very happy. "Shall I come with you, mother?" So she said, "Mother, yes, come on." So Meera held her mother's hand and they went to the temple. And their mother, her mother worshipped the statue, Krishna's murti, Krishna's statue. So Meera looked on Krishna's statue and she took him as her bridegroom, that he's the one that she has to love, because it's her in-law's place, this temple is her in-law's place, and this Krishna is her betrothed. As a child she got this in her mind, and her love for Krishna came very naturally as a child to her. Now she grew up, she had in her heart all the time Krishna's love. So when she grew up to be a young woman, an age of marrying age, she was to be married to a Rana, that is a monarch, ruling. She was married to Maharaja because she was also of a very high-standing So she was given to this Maharaja, who was the Rana of Gujarat. Exactly, I don't know the name. So she was forced to marry because in Hindus every girl must marry, and so she was forced to marry this Raja Maharaja. She was married when she was when she went to her home at the Maharaja's place. She went around the rooms and looked at everything, but she found everything just beautiful but very cold and no life in it, because Krishna's statue was nowhere, and she loved Krishna and she did not love anybody else. So when the Raja when she went in the other room, the Maharaja was there and came towards her. So she told him that why do you want me for a wife? Because I don't love you. My heart is given already to Krishna. So I have no love for you. My heart is not for you. My soul and my heart and my love, everything I've given away to Krishna. And what is the meaning? What is there that I can... You can have a me, it's only this body, and there's no love in it, so what is this? There's no meaning living together like this. So the Maharaja was very touched at that her love for God was so much. So she asked for a room outside the palace grounds, you know. I mean, not connected with the palace, but in the grounds where the servants live, like that room there. And the Raja had so much respect and love for her that he let her have her way. He thought for her, sometimes she's so devoted, so she will stay there, and then she might come back to the palace. But Meera was all the time, always in her room, far from the palace. And now she had her Krishna's, Krishna statue with her, and beautiful decorated in her little room, and she would sing to Krishna all day long and would repeat his name, would tell him that she wants to see him and why does he come to her, and she would say very beautiful loving things to Krishna, and as she was actually shows that her she is in love with Krishna, so why isn't he coming to her? She's waiting for him. So every day such a beautiful loving songs also she used to sing to Krishna, which she used to compose, and nearly all night long she would sing to him, in daytime also, all the time she was engrossed all the time, Krishna, Krishna. She did not know anything else but Krishna all the time. So her songs, when they were sung loudly, like bhajans that are praises of Krishna, so the sadhus, whoever went on the roadside, they heard her singing, so they would be attracted. They came, stood by the door, and she did not mind them. She said, "You also come and sing to my Krishna. Why don't you?" So they all would come and sing with her, sitting around Krishna's statue, and she was very happy that all love Krishna, and they all have love for Krishna also. So when singing, she would get into ecstasy for her love for Krishna so much. She felt Krishna's presence so much that she would get up and begin to dance, and she danced very sweetly around in front of Krishna's statue, very lovingly. And of course the bhajan, that is the praises of God, when they're sung with certain rhythm, the Hindus clap their hands like this. So they would clap their hands, and now this story of their singing and Meera dancing and the clapping all went to the ears of the monarch, the king, and the Raja who was living in the palace. So this complaint would go that nearly every day this bhajan is going, and Meera in front of all these young, and all the sadhus are not all perfect, and so that all the sadhus were not genuine sadhus. The Raja felt very, he didn't like this at all. But what can he do? But the Raja had his sister staying with him in the palace. So his sister was very against this Meera's love for Krishna, because she wanted Meera to live in the palace to and be the Raja's wife, and have, and the Raja should have heirs to the throne. What is this nonsense going on? She didn't like it at all. So she would tell the Raja certain things, that why do you the king's sister would tell the king that this is causing great embarrassment and doesn't, and gives bad name to him, because his Meera is dancing in front of the men, and those days women were very strict. They did not appear in front of men without the saris pulled over their faces. They were very modest, and look at her, she's dancing in front of men like this. What a kind of woman she is. Because the sister did not understand the love and the devotion that Meera had for Krishna. She did not know about, I mean, so she would say all these things to the king, and so of course the king felt very did not know what to do about. So the king said, all right, what to do about it? You do, what can you do about it? Do it. Do what you can do about it. So later then the sister, the king, the Raja's sister, thought of a plan herself, that if they could get rid of Meera, then the Raja could marry again and everything would be all right. So then next day she prepared Meera's breakfast and food always to go from the palace. Every time the food went for Meera, Meera would take it and offer it first to Krishna's statue, put in front of Krishna with so much love, and she would tell Krishna to partake of this food first and then she would eat it. So she would sit in front of this Krishna statue with eyes closed, meditating on Krishna, that Krishna is eating, and with so much love she would do. And she felt that Krishna is present, he has eaten, and that way then after that, after some time she would take the food and then she would eat it, that Krishna, you have finished eating now, I will eat what is left over. And that she had so much love that she said these things to Krishna all the time, and then she would eat the food. So one day when the Raja's sister sent milk for Meera's breakfast, that all every day it was sent to Meera, so Meera took the milk and she put the milk in front of Krishna and asked Krishna to partake of it, and then she would take. Now when so she like always meditated on Krishna, and after a little while she took the milk and stood up and said, Krishna, this is prasad from you. You have partaken of it, so I must take it now. But when she lifted the glass to her mouth, she felt and saw that the milk was doctored, means there was a poison in it, and there was much poison in it. But now Meera thought that she had offered this to Krishna, so it is her that she must also take the milk, because Krishna has partaken of it. She offered this to Krishna, she must also take it. So she said to Krishna, talked to him, that Krishna, you are everywhere. You are also in this cup of milk. And saying this, Meera smiled, and taking happily Krishna's name, she drank the poison cup of milk. And what do you think happened? Nothing happened to Meera. The poison did not affect her at all. But she knew that there was poison in the milk. The taste was horrible, but she had to drink it because it was the milk she offered Krishna. She had so much love that she could not throw away that milk, because it was Krishna's prasad, because she put it in front of Krishna. So she did drink the poisoned milk with her for her love for Krishna. And that is why Krishna saw that nothing happened to her. That shows that Krishna was with her all the time, taking care of her. There's so much love. And that is why Baba said that one's love should be like Meera's love. A real, true love. After that, Meera did not want to stay there in the palace grounds because she felt now that in the palace, the people in the palace don't want her here anymore. They have offered her poison. So she leaves the palace grounds and then she traces her steps. She goes to Vrindavan, Gokul, Mathura, where Krishna was born and played with the gopis and where he stayed. So she went to Gokul after visiting Mathura, where he was born. Then she goes to Gokul, and there she sits by the Jamuna River in the moonlight also. She sings her songs to Krishna all the time, and she tells Krishna that you played with the gopis. I am also one of your gopi, Krishna. Why don't you come to me? I'm waiting for you. So long I have waited for you and you do not come to me. But it so happened that Krishna used to appear to Meera. Even when she was in the palace ground, once or twice, Baba said Krishna had appeared to her, had played flute for her. But that was just for a flash of a second, you know, just like that. But here also, then she felt Krishna's presence. But it so happened that Krishna put the thought in her mind, and later then she goes to other places then. But she walks through the Vrindavan lanes where Krishna had played his flute so sweetly, and she thinks of Krishna, meditates on him, thinks, oh, he must have stood here, oh, he must have walked through this lane, oh, Krishna must have played with the gopis here in the moonlight by the riverside. And so all the time her mind was Krishna, Krishna. And then later then she goes to another place, and there she finds a master whose name is Raidas. Raidas was Meera's master, and because she was perfect, and perfect means her soul was prepared to receive the grace of the Guru. So the Guru takes her in his, in his care, and guides her on the path. And Baba told us that Meera was God realized later in life. But she got God realization. She was God realized. And Baba told us some part of the story, of course. And Baba said that if one loves like Meera does, then that is true love, that is real love. Baba says that Baba told us that we all love him in our own way. Some have a small vessel, some have a big vessel, so our containers of love, some love Baba more, some less. So that way Baba explained to us. But Baba says, you all also love me because Baba loves to be loved. God is love and he wants love. That's all. What else does he want from us? Only love. So we give him more and more love. As much as we can love him, we love him and make him happy with our love. Jai Baba.
Meera, isn't your name taken from Meera?
No. No, my parents gave me after I was born, Meera name. My name was Meera from first only. But when I was in Sakuri, before joining in Baba's ashram, I was in Sakuri for some time. And there, Upasni Maharaj Bandi had, when we first went to Maharaj's hut, you know, and Maharaj is seated, he asked us our names, my sister's, my name, and I said, Meera. So he turned his face to me and said, Meera? Oh yes, Meera is in Gujarati, but Meera is a better name. Why not Meera? We call you Meera. So from that day, I was called Meera in Sakuri, always they called me Meera. But when I came to Baba, Baba called me Meera. And in the common school, I was called Mary. Yes, because Mary, they also the three names. So, Jai Baba, also Hindu Brahmin girl, and how she loved Vithoba, that's another story, very long story. She loved him so much that she used to keep a little statue, you know, and nurse him on her lap all the time. And when the mother-in-law came, she put a sari over there, and she's working like that. As soon as the mother-in-law went, she would do. So when mother-in-law came in, she saw the work was not done. It was just that much what she was doing, you know, grinding corn and all that on a small stone. She said, "What are the things? Just as I have been when I first came in, it was just that much. What are you doing all this time?" And then she used to beat her up and all that. But she, how can she tell her that she has Krishna? Otherwise, then the mother would not like it and might treat the statue anyhow or something. So she would take the beating, but she would. But so much love. But Krishna, it was Vithoba she loved, but this Krishna statue. Vithoba and Krishna are one of the same. But that's a very long story. Then how she wanted to go for pilgrimage. You know, the certain month comes and she wanted to go for pilgrimage. But how can she go with her husband and husband's orders? And they're very strict. Very strict. The girl can't go out and talk to anybody in the house. Inside the house, she must work all the day. We can't tell it to the Western mind. She does not talk to other men. They are so strict and Brahmins that time. And then she wanted to go to Pandharpur, means a pilgrimage. You know, Pandharpur pilgrimage is a very big pilgrimage. Every year they have to go. So one month comes that they must go there. So she heard that this month has come. Oh my, if only she could go to Pandharpur. Vithoba himself is there. So many thousands bow to him. Why can't I once bow to him? So she would, with so much love, she would feel that way. Not like us that, we will go to pilgrimage, I'll be dead. But real feeling that Vithoba really there and everybody's bowing to him. Why can't I once bow to him also? You know, so Dindi is, you have seen, there are many people who get together and walk to Pandharpur, walking pilgrimage, they must. So it is, I don't know how many miles from here, more than 50 miles, but they walk and they stop at certain stops, you know, how would you call it, camp, Sukhita stops,
camp for the night.
Like that, and now it's, before it was rather difficult. They had to take a flower with them and make and get wood here and there and put three stones and cook their own bread and just eat chutney and bread in old time. But now people have come to know about it, that they go for pilgrimage, and because now you're not going for pilgrimage, but I and Meera going, so you'll feel. But if you're not going, then if you feed us, so that's good. Good act. You're doing your share is also in the pilgrimage because you fed the ones who are going for pilgrimage. So there are rich Hindus, Brahmins there are, and they have made camping grounds for these people. So 2 months ago they were all going, bundles on their hair, trudging along, some having steaks, some, they don't take children with them, that would be too much, but just elderly also, young. They all go, but about batches of 25, 30, more, or even less, but they all go together in a group, and they go slowly, up to Nagar, they will walk. By the time they reach there, if it's evening, then they rest, relax, and those people see that they have come, they quickly prepare food for them, you know, just plain dal and rice, I don't know, whatever they prefer, and they're fed nice, like that, and they start again next morning, and so on, from place to place, they have resting places, and to eat. So now they have arranged for that. Because so then it's convenient for them to travel. But before it was very strenuous. Now what I want to say to Saku wanted to go with this Dindi. This is called Dindi. The group of people who go for pilgrimage are called Dindi. So she saw the Dindi coming, you know. But her hometown was a nice place, but they were living outside the town. Nay, Dindi also is this. I group my jaise then Dindi se, to abe ayna kar lamba na. No, every time is not palki. It's, well, that also is called bindi. So she saw these people coming saying bhajan now. These were saying bhajan, but these people had, you know, what do you call it? What do you call palanquin? What is there? People are seated, one person or two person seated, and they carry. What is it? So that is, you know, you have, so that big thing affair is not there. This very small little seat is made there on a very light bamboo, and just two people carry. But the gods, their statue in there, that they have that feeling that he's also with us. We are carrying him also to Pandharpur, and there they also worship him also. That, you know, that their god also has been to Pandharpur, so they'll bring him back to their hometown. And they have this belief and this kind of worship, devotion, whatever you call it, I don't know, and devotion. So Sun Saku, she was all the time like this, so much love of Krishna and all that for Ituba. So the story is not very like Mirabai's story, that's why, but she lived that life, Sun Saku, you know, of getting beaten by her in-law and like that. Her husband was not pleasant, not nice. He listened to the mother-in-law, his mother, and he would be not kind to the, because she's a young girl, they're married, they must work in the house, and she must do this. Why is she slow at doing things? But how can she tell that she was thinking of Krishna, she was doing this, you know? So all this. Now, when the dindi was coming, you know, that group of people saying bhajan and dancing like this and like that, and from her hometown they were going. But later on, when they get tired, they don't do any more of that, you know? But that's just started, so they were in their full form, like dancing. And so she saw, oh my, how happily they're all going for Ituba's darshan, and I can't go, she saw from the window. But they're going for Ituba, why can't I go? I must go. She forgot her in-law, the beating she would get, nothing, she forgot the whole world. She just wanted to go with this dindi to have darshan of Ituba, that one thought. And she just, because her mother-in-law was working in the next room or washing clothes outside, but she was not there, she was somewhere else. So she just saw the Indian Ituba darshan. She just ran out the door and forgot everything, and she went and joined those people. And she was happy, oh, she's going to Ituba, and she was singing the praises of God, she was following those people. Then the people who had joined the, her hometown people know her family, and they, you know, some people like who know you, and so if someone from your house goes, they will recognize, those people recognized. And the people standing around, they saw also run. So they were very surprised. How can Saku, she's so strictly kept and like that, and she's alone, nobody accompanying, and she's running, and she's run to join the company there, I mean the people there. So they went and quickly went and told her husband and in-laws that, look at Saku. Saku has joined the dindi. She's going alone with all the men there, because nobody is accompanying her from her home. She was alone like that. So she even told on her. So the husband, he got a long stick, and the mother-in-law said, see, I told you that girl is like that. She will not listen. You have better bring her under control. She, I don't know what she'll do later. You sort of beat her up and make her like this, submissive like this to you. It's so much we're doing, and still she's behaving like this, you know? Like she won't listen to us, and she's out of our hand like that all the time. What is this? The mother-in-law, of course, she did not know love and devotion, anything. She just wanted a house, material way. Her husband also was very angry. How dare she, without asking me? Her husband, not even taking his permission, like that, and she's gone. So he was very angry. He got this stick, and he ran after, you know, where the dindi was going, and here's Saku so happily singing with them, and he comes behind her and beat her up, you know, with the sticks, and pulling her and beating her and pulling her back like that, you know, and telling her all drags things.
Drags her home.
It's very sad there. So Saku was so heart like broken. She's so very sad that this was once a chance, actually. She saw that God had given her this chance to join the dindi. How is that it had? No, how is that she could not do it, make it? So she said, never mind, I have Krishna, my little Krishna, I will nurse him all the time and I will keep Krishna. Never mind if I can't go there, but Krishna is here with me. But I would love to have gone there. But it is a true story that what happens, you know, it is, you have no idea. But what happens is Krishna knowing about this, Krishna is not in body, but Krishna is God, like Vishnu, he's the avatar of Vishnu. Krishna's avatar is Vishnu and Baba also. So Krishna feels very bad for her, and so he comes to her room, Krishna, actually, where she is, and he tells her that you go to Pandharpur and I'll take your place in the house. And so Krishna becomes the girl, Sansaku. He's in the form of Sansaku, and Sansaku runs after the house. She's so happy, she embraces Krishna and like that. She says, no, you want to go there, you must go. I tell you, go and have your this thing, and then come back and then you can embrace me again. Like that, you know. So she obeys Krishna and she goes. And at home, what do you think? Krishna does all the work that Sakhu has done. She grinds the corn for the in-laws. He does the chapatis. And yes, it is very beautiful. But the story is very long. How she comes back and all that is too much. But this much I can say that it happened. So these things, love can do so much, even make miracles. That's Sansaku. And her film Baba wanted us to see. So it was Italian actors had done this. They got the story and they were Italian actors. So beautiful they did it, you know. And Baba had this film showed us where, you know, in Mehrabad. Not yet. It was a long time ago. And that time Baba was not in silence, he was talking. And he was so proud to show that film. Baba, see how beautiful it is. And this film is so well done, so beautiful. And look how beautiful they portray love of Sant Sakhu. Sant means saint. Sant Sakhu. Sakhu is her name. So, this was a very beautiful film also. Very good. What happens? The powerful one, what would you call it? A very a forceful one, sort of. How would you say? This thing for love, how much, what a person can do. Not for just God's love, ordinary love. And then what happens? Is it on? Oh. So, this is story of Surdas. He was a young, high-class Brahmin person, and he loved music, singing. So he used to go to a place where this young woman who's supposed to sing and dance, and is mostly always men around her, because that kind of place where these people go to entertain themselves, to see her dance and sing and all that, you know, that kind of place it was. And this woman was very lovely woman, very lovely young woman who danced and sang. So it happened that, now, his name in the beginning is not Surdas. I forget the name, but we always know him by the name of Surdas. I'll tell you what the meaning is later on, not now. What Surdas means. Now what happens is that he fell in love, actually in love with this woman whose profession is to dance and sing, and then men throw money at her, you know, like this. They're so happy with her song and her dancing. So she makes money like that, you know, earns a living. So Surdas was so pumped. He was much in love with her. So one night it was that he thought of her all the time, you know, and he said, I must go to her. When there's nobody, then I can tell her of my love and like this, you know. So he was so madly in love with her, and really he loved her. So he went, it was very far her place was. It was a river, and between then they had to row themselves across the river. Means a person had a boat, you know, in India they have a boat is on hire, ordinary boat, rowing boat, and the passengers sit in it and they row to the other bank. So this river was there, but being in the middle of the night, there was nobody to row him across. But it happened that when he got to the river, the boat also was not there. So he looked around. He was so much in thought of his girl and his love for her that he just wanted to get to her. So he saw in the water there was no boat anywhere. So then he saw, oh, there was something bobbing up and down the water. Ah, that is a nice log or something. He quickly went towards it. It was against the bank of the river, you know, stuck there. So he took it and he broke a stick to paddle himself, you know, and he rode on that. He astride, and he rode himself to the other bank. It was a narrow river, narrow, very narrow. And so he went across. And there he left the thing that he rode on. And then he went towards her, the girl's house, where it was a bit vain. He walked towards the house. The house was shut, locked and shut. So he looked around the house, where to get in from, inside the house, how to get to let the girl know he has come. And because the he was staying upstairs, and downstairs everything's locked, every door and window, everything. So he said, I must climb up. But there was nothing, just walls, and there was a little terrace. But how to climb up that terrace? So then he sees, there, but she, how nice of her. She's kept a rope hanging just for me to climb up, she saw. So he quickly held that rope, and he climbed up. And when he climbed up, he knocked at the door very fast, and she said, who's there? She said, come out soon, come out very soon. I want to see you. So she said, well, who is this wants to see me? So she opened the door, who are you? She says, I'm Sardas, I want to see you. But why? And how did you come here at night? Because there's no boatman on the river. And how did you come here? Why did you come? I don't take anybody in the house like this and like that. She says, no, but you know, I want to speak to you, I must see you, and I love you and all that, he told her. She says, no, first tell me how you came here. Says, but didn't you keep a rope hanging, especially that knowing in your mind that I love you and that you kept a rope for me to climb up? What rope? Come and see. She said, you came. And what do you think it was? A huge cobra, a very long snake, had twined his tail round the banisters. What do you call that? This thing. And was just hanging still down. She says, are you gone mad? That is a snake? Oh, it's a snake? Is it? I didn't know. I thought it was a rope. But that shows his love was so much that he did not care. It looked to him like a rope. He was just wanted to see her. So that means how much love. So she says, and then how did you come by the river? I rode on a log. And what log? Come on, let me see. And they went and saw it was, what thing it was? A corpse. It was a corpse. It was all swollen and days old it was, and it has come and stuck on the river, you know, and that side is quite true. This is given the story also of Sardas. And he rode on that corpse, and he was rowing very happily. She could not believe eyes. She looked at him, and she said, you know what? He says, yes. If you only loved God as much as you love me, you would see God. So learn to love him like this. Your love should be for God, not for me. Go back home. And she was rather upset with him. She says, go back home and repeat God's name and love God. You will see him because you have so much love to give. Then he was very disappointed. And so when he does go home, I don't know, whenever he goes home, rowing on the corpse, so I don't know how he goes home, but he goes home, and then he said, yes, because his love for the girl is so much, she has told him to do this, he must do it. So he sits and says, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna's name, many names, Shyam also, Gopal, Govinda, or Govind, Nandalala, Giridharlal. There are many beautiful names in Krishna. Each one gives their own pet name to Krishna. So he used to call him Shyam, I think. Yes, Shyam. So So he would say, Krishna, Krishna, oh beloved Sam, oh Sam, like that. He tried to make himself feel love for Krishna, you know. He had to, because the girl has told him to do that, so he wanted to obey her because his love was so much for us. But, and he was like that, you know. And so, of course, he had to go off to the house to, for the, whether he had to go off the house for work or anything, he had to go. But whenever he went out, and even if on the roadside, he saw a pretty woman. That first, that girl's name is
Chintamani.
The first girl whom he was in love with, the singer, was Chintamani. So he says, Chintamani has told me to love God and to repeat his name. I must. And so again he tries to forget that woman, and again he comes home and meditates on Krishna, his photo, and the statue he has, and he takes his name. They said, the best thing I will do is take up all these nice clothes and wear a sadhu's clothes. And that way it will help me to be on the right path, like to love Krishna. Because if I am in these nice clothes, then maybe that is why also my mind does not work right. So he wears the ochre colored clothes, and then he goes begging. You know, like a sadhu now, he has to beg for food because he has to become a sadhu to be. I mean, to leave everything in Krishna's love, he must. So he goes begging. Now when he begs many houses, you know, in one house one day he came to beg, he got he asked for alms, and the woman who came out to give him alms, because always a Hindu house must give food. If you ask for food, they will give you, even if it's just tiny piece of bread or anything, but you must give something to eat. So this woman brought out an Indian kind of bread, you know, and with little food on it to give. So he wanted to say thank you to her and looked up to her. And when he looked up at her, she was a very beautiful woman. She was a very lovely woman. So again, he felt like this, you know, love for her. So, my, what a lovely girl she is. And so he came in the house. He said, can I come in the house? I haven't had bath and this and that. He made excuses. He said, oh, yes. And he came. So, in the house was her husband there, because she knew her husband was there. So, he can come in. So, he came in. And then he was there. Then the woman went out in the kitchen somewhere to do her work. He was with her. The Surdas with the girl's husband. So Surdas turns to the husband, says, you know, you've given me bhiksha. You ready to give me bhiksha that I asked for? He says, yes. A sadhu, we never refuse a sadhu. We always give bhiksha whatever they ask. So he says, will you give me your wife just for today? Just like that, you know. So that man said, I've given my word, so I can't go back on it. So I must obey your word.